الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, Hadith Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi was assisting his Shaykh and Ustaz Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahankuri rahmatullah alayhi in the compiling of the commentary Baslul Majhud. It is the commentary on Abu Dawud Sharif. Sometimes, to get certain references and certain statements, his Shaykh would instruct him, go to Saharanpur, go to Deoband from Saharanpur, and get this reference, get these statements. So he would set off for Deoband, he would get those statements, those references, and he would bring it back. In Deoband, there was one popular student who was known as Maulana Habibur Rahman. He was still studying, but he was quite active in the political movement. This is now dating back late 1930s. The political movement was quite strong. So he used to be very active in this. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah was opposed to this. And he would say it quite frankly and openly that for such a student to be in the madrasa is haram. People that are contributing towards the running of the madrasa, they are contributing not for people and students to be engaging in political movements. They are contributing towards a madrasa so that the students could study Deen, Quran, Sharif, Hadith, Fiqh, etc. Now this is totally against the grain of these people's contributions. So it is not permissible for him to be staying at the madrasa, eating of the bread of the madrasa. And Maulana Habibur Rahman Sahib initially used to get affected. And because of his deep down hurt, he used to say, that he marta nahi, kyun marta nahi? This old man, why is not dying? The inside of the earth was better for him than the surface. So these Buzurgana Deen, their statements and their talks are based on ikhlas and sincerity. It's not spite, it's not to run down someone, it's not to disgrace, it's not to embarrass. And then each Buzurg has his own style, his own way, his own approach. When you are at that level, then you know which approach is more appropriate. In some situation, it is better for you to use a hard approach. In some situations, it is better for you to use a soft approach. So these people that are in this, they know that in this situation, it is better for me to use a hard-line approach or to use a soft approach. One youngster that was tahajjud guzar, something went into his mind and he's saying, main to kafir ban jaunga, I'll become a kafir, I'll become a Hindu. And he's saying it repeatedly. And then he was so fired up one day that in the presence of Al-Mawad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he blurted out the same statement, that I will become a kafir, I'm becoming a Hindu, no more a Muslim. So Mawlana got up from his place and gave one slap, tight one. Immediately say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. All that kufr, all got just pushed out of his system straight away. But by the way, it doesn't mean that you must imitate Mawlana Thani Rahmatullah. We may get 10 blows. He was of that level, he had that sight, he had that vision. He knew what was appropriate for which case, in which situation. So if you are Mawlana Thani Rahmatullah, you may imitate. And you don't need to imitate, then you will be doing an impulse. And when you're not in that position, then the simple procedure is just follow the 6 points. Tabligh Jamaat 6 points. Non-controversial, you just do that. So the better thing is each person should remain at the position that he is. We try and imitate someone that is higher than us, that's got vision, that's got sight, and we lose ourselves afterwards. If a bicycle tries to imitate an aeroplane, it will crash to death, obviously. Try to fly over a mountain, it will crash to death. So if you are a bicycle, then you remain as a bicycle. You are a jet, then you don't need to be told that you are a jet now, you need to fly. You don't need to be told. You will do it on impulse, instinctive. So the general rule is that we be soft and kind. And when we see this type of an exception, then we would take it an exemption. He knew about it, he had some sight, he had some vision, therefore he was harsh in his approach. And therefore you will see it culminates in something beautiful as well. They are harsh, but it culminates in something that is very pleasant. Hazrat Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh is the great grandfather of Hazrat Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Very pious, he was known for his taqwa. The level of taqwa was proverbial. If you wanted to hear about taqwa, then hear about the taqwa of Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Just in between, some statements are coming to my mind. I will just share it with you. I do not know. Perhaps there may be someone in the midst who may perhaps practice upon it, and I will get the reward for it. Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu, or Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, one of them had said, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had reached a very distinct position. Very, very distinct position that nobody could come up to his level. After Abu Bakr, nobody could reach at the level of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. But what was it in account of? Was it on account of his knowledge? Was it on account of his justice? Was it on account of his mujahada and striving? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas says it's not because of this. Because if you look at these things, then there are other Sahaba Kiram also that can level out with, and even out with Umar radiallahu anhu. What was the thing that made him so much distinguished from the rest of the Sahaba Kiram? Came the second position. So he says that the reason that Umar radiallahu anhu had excelled was because of his zuhud and disinterest in this dunya. His interest in the hereafter. His whole motivation, his whole sight, his whole inclination is in that end. Someone had passed away recently, and people were talking about how well he had passed away, mashallah. So Allah Ta'ala took out of my tongue that we are all walking and working in that direction. We are all walking and working in that direction, that we must culminate in that end, in that way. After all the strive, the effort, the mehnat, running around, making money, whatever else. But what is it in aid of? It's in aid of that last moment, that critical moment. How do we culminate? How do we end up? How do we terminate? And that termination point, nobody can say. When it's coming, how it's coming, Allah Pak knows. One friend of mine was there in the madrasa, so he says, his niece was here from Joburg, 13, 14 years of age. And they were returning to Johannesburg. There was an accident. She had just won some competition, whatever it was, and she's returning, and there is an accident, spot dead. Father is critical, life support. some 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, my friend Ismail Basa, he lost his son, 22, 23 years of age. So when that moment is coming, Allah knows. But what we don't realize is we're working towards that. When we are working and walking towards that, then there should be logically some type of an interest, some type of an enthusiasm, some type of a shauk for that. Shaukan ila liqai. The mazdoor, the worker, what is he looking forward to? He's looking forward to the end of the month. You did a piece of job. What are you looking forward to? To your payment. So death brings about that payment. This world does not have the capacity for your reward. Doesn't have the reward. Doesn't have the capacity. The smallest jannati is getting 10 times the size of this earth. So the world doesn't have the capacity to reward you. There must be another realm which has the capacity to reward you. So if that's the culminating point, that's the winning point, ask the person that is participating in the marathon, what is the most exciting moment? The most exciting moment is that winning point. Is that point where you're going to win. So that must be an exciting moment of our lives. Shawqan ila liqaik min ghayri dharra'a mudhirra wala fitnati mudhilla. We are longing to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala is longing to meet us. We are longing to meet Him. And He is longing to meet us. Because love is not a one-way traffic. Love is a two-sided thing. It's not just one-sided. If you are making love and she's not making, then you say, I'd rather take a dummy. Because love is a two-sided thing. You're doing something and you want some response. You're doing something and you want some response. So you are showing love to Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala is responding to your love. You are showing love and He's responding. Sometimes He's talking to you. Sometimes He's putting something into your mind. Sometimes He's inspiring you. Everybody is tired. He's getting you up. He's inspiring you all the time. All the time. When everybody is depressed and down and is keeping you high and floating above. So what is this? These are all the subtle messages from Allah Ta'ala. He's keeping you going. So we are talking about this Mawlana Habibur Rahman. He's still a student. And the Shaykh Hamdullah used to make this type of statements that it's haram for such people to be in the madrasa. And I said that different Buzurgan Adeen and different Mashayikh will use different approaches. But the intention is one in the same. Intention is for us to come onto the cause. Someone will use a harsh approach. Someone will use a soft approach. For us, the better thing is, we don't look at the person's approach. We look at the fact that he is bringing us onto the cause. Let us just go on the cause. Whether he's shouting us and he's swearing us. But his intention is for us to come onto the cause. Forget the approach and how he conducted himself. We see what is his intent. The intent is to bring us to the cause. So his intent is good. Forget the approach and all that. We just disregard the approach and we come onto the cause. I was speaking about Imam Muzaffar Hussain Sahib rahmatullah alayh. So he was known proverbial for his taqwa and righteousness. And the level of his taqwa was such that any doubtful lukma, doubtful morsel, will not just come into his system. He will throw up straight away. If there was a doubtful morsel, it will just throw up. And therefore people were very reluctant to invite him. Abhi chori pakri jayegi. We'll invite him. And I think he just throws up. He's caught you straight away. There's something wrong. Kal mein dala hai. Dal mein kala hai. Something wrong. So Maulana, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, he got up for his tahajjud. And now his family people, some of them a little bit, not at that level of taqwa and righteousness. They want a little bit of a nightlife, whatever. Not nightlife in the sense, in our sense, having clubbing and all that. No. But some of them are a little bit loose now, playing chess and all that at the late part of the morning, or the early part of the morning, and they're playing chess. And that is such a consuming game that it makes you forget everything else. Your wife's rights, everybody's rights are forgotten and you consume by that game. Umar radiallahu anhu, he discouraged. Brothers, after Isha go and sleep. There's several things that you will get in place if you go home on time. you will save your wife from anxiety. She won't have any anxiety. My man is with me. So she feels comfortable. She feels relaxed. There is a system in your home. You coming home on time. The children are coming on time. So the homework, the assignments, whatever is needed to be done for the next day, everything is complete. Then you have performed your Isha Namaz, as though that Isha Namaz was a kafara and an atonement for all the wrong that you have done for the day. So you have got yourself clean. So rather sleep in a clean state. Salatun ithra salatin kitabun fil illiyin. Salatun ba'da salatin la lagun bainahuma kitabun fil illiyin. One salah and you do another salah after that. And there is no wrong that you do in between. You don't speak something that is vain, incorrect, out of line. And that enables you to get all your sins forgiven. Whatever happened in between, everything is marked. So you just perform your namaz and you darted straight home. You didn't speak vain, useless talks, engage in something. Because it starts off in something that is vain, right? Then it borders around ghibat. Then it goes to gossip. Then it is false allegations and accusations. Then you don't know the limit. To draw the line becomes very, very difficult. So as though it atoned for all the wrong. You're getting on home right, the wife is right, the children, there is some system in the children. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, you may be blessed for tahajjud. Right? And if you didn't get up for tahajjud, then the least will be that you will get your fajr with jamaat. You know, they say you want to see piety in a people, in any community, the barometer, the gauge is the fajr attendance. Look at the fajr attendance, and more or less you'll get an understanding of that community. If the fajr is good, mashallah, this community is steady, it's strong. But the fajr, if they are not right there, then there's something wrong. So the easy way, easy, simple, straightforward way, is not to get engaged in any serious talk after Isha. Unless it's some dini talk, obviously, it's an exception. But then too, if it's a dini talk with moderation, you're getting home on time, you're making all the intizam and arrangements to get up on time, so that because of this talk, it doesn't mean you compromise your fajr salah. So if you slept on time, you're getting your tahajjud, you're getting your fajr, those that are hufaz, they are getting sufficient time to read Quran Sharif, 2-3 sibaras they can recite. Those that are non-hufaz, at least they could recite quarter sibara. Those that are zakirin, they make zikr, the mashayikh have shown them and prescribed them some zikr. All that is complete. Before fajr, everything, it's a clean sheet, everything is cleaned up. Now you're starting off the day afresh, everything is clean. I've done my ma'mulat, I've done my Quran Sharif, I've done my zikr for the day, I've got my tahajjud, so you're feeling so well. In shirahul qalb, you find. Tayyiban, nashitan nafs. You're clean, you feel nice, you feel motivated, you feel to take on the challenge for the day. وَإِلَّا يَسْتَيْقِذُ خَبِيثَ النَّفْسِ كَسْلًا. And you didn't do this, then you're feeling sluggish, you're feeling depressed, no motivation, you need someone to come and motivate you. Why? That you didn't start off the day in the friendship of Allah Ta'ala. This man started off the day with the friendship of Allah Ta'ala, not in the warpath. Not on the warpath, on a friendship. Start off his zikr, tahajjud, namaz, Quran Sharif. And as though he start off in a friendly note. So Allah Ta'ala motivates him. Allah Ta'ala grants him that ease. The freshness of the mind. The freshness of spirit. He grants him that type of enthusiasm that he wants to take on the day. And the other person is feeling down, demotivated, depressed. Why? He started off on a warpath with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, his creator. So Mullah got up for his tahajjud, and when he got up for his tahajjud, so some of the youngsters were engaged in chess. They so consumed in the game, they just heard some footsteps, they felt to themselves that it was some noker, some worker that was around. They said, "Are fulane, zara hukke burger ke liye aao." Oh, so and so. Just get the hookah, just fill it up. Now you don't need to give an explanation what is hookah. I'm sure about 20 years ago, people wouldn't have known what is hookah. Right? Everybody knows about it. Arey falana zara chilam dho karke hukka bhar ke le aao. Oh, just get that hukka. Now Maulana is such a buzurg. The whole world, he is acknowledged by the world. Not a buzurg for a small community, no. The whole world recognized. And Maulana, there's no frown on the face. No expression of hurt and guilt. I'm such a big buzurg. People are respecting me internationally. And these people, they don't recognize me. You know, what a stupid thing they're asking me to do. And don't they fear that the wrath and the anger of Allah Ta'ala falls upon them? With a smile on the face. These Buzurgana Deen, they view life differently. They feel it's an opportunity to bring some cheer into the heart of my fellow being. As a Muslim brother, let me bring some cheer to him. I couldn't do much, little bit of cheer, let me just do it for him. Even very quietly, cleaned that old hookah, whatever tobacco had to be filled, and how he had to be lit and all that, he got that right, and he presented it. And slowly he was trying to sneak away. When something entered this person's mind, let me just see who's this person that brought it. And he turned around and he sees Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Kandilvi Rahmatullah Alayh. So, ab to hamare liye ab yaha Kandle mein rahna haram ho gaya. Now we can't be continuing in Kandla. Now we have to move, to change our lives, U-turn. See this Buzurgana Deen, what they are doing, there is some agenda. There is some intention, there is some agenda. That kindness also, there is some agenda. So that little bit of kindness, and what Maulana must be doing at that time, what du'as he must be making for these people at that time. So it was just about a turn, 180 degrees turn, straight. You know, now for us to live here in Kandla and carry on in this stupid style, this is haram for us. Straight away they packed up, and they moved on to Gangoh. Maulana Yahya Sahib, who is the father of the Sheikh Hadith, Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi, took care of them because it's a distant uncle. So he took care of them, respected them, seen to their food, etc., whatever else. But obviously, these people were lords there in Kandla, wealthy people, and attendance upon attendance, looking towards them. And now they had to leave this life here and live a simple life of a khanqa. So Maulana Yahya was feeling it, my uncle, and he's going through all this difficulty. So one day he came up to his uncle and he says to him, you know, chacha, yahan par agar kaam banne mein kuch agar waqt lag jata ho, to mayus na ho jana, inshallah tumhara kaam bhi ban jayega. If there is a little bit of a delay in your work being done, you want to come on to righteousness, you want to come on to the path, you want to leave and you want to abandon all the evil of the past. So if there's a delay in that, then don't become despondent. This will come also, it will come in time. So this person, you look at the mindset of these people here. They've already spent about 3-4 months here. 4-5 months they have spent already. What he says, Are londe, mujhe sikhane aate hain. Londe, the exact meaning is not good, you know. It's not very good, because it's colloquial. You say lighty. Oh, lighty, you're coming to explain me, you're coming to advise me. Dekho, maine 50 saal in khurafat mein laga diya. In all these nonsensical things, I had spent 50 years of my life. Justice requires that I give another 50 years just to compensate for all the wrong I have done. Then I must ask for some type of returns. And today what happens to us? Al-ha'iku yusalli billayl summa yantaziru yuha ilayhi amla. A cotton weaver in India, unfortunately, is considered as a very low person, right? So he gets up for tahajjud 2-3 nights, tahajjud, making zikr and all that. Now he's turning towards the asman, turning towards the skies, waiting for the wahi to come down. It's not wrong, it's not right. We're not fair. What wrongs we have done, we need to compensate for the wrong. All of us have some type of records. Some type of recourse we have. We can't hide away. The school days, the memories, when I talk to youngsters, 19, 20, 21 years of age, when I speak to them and I see a grin on their face, tell them, you know your school days. And you know some of the memories are still locked up in your mind. That girl that you lent the rubber to and that thing rubbed off onto your heart. So that memory is still there. You can't say that memory is lost. You can't say. Sometimes I tell them, by sometime in sajda also she is coming in front. Is it right or not? So those memories are still locked up. You can't say, you can't avoid those memories. The wrong is wrong, obviously. But it will take time for that thing to be erased. So anyway, what I'm getting at is this Buzurgan al-Din and this Mashaykh will use different approaches. The agenda is one and the same, for us to come on to the right. Someone will use a hard approach, someone will use a soft approach. So it is our blessing and our fortune that we don't condemn and run them down. Some magazine, some newspaper has got a very hard approach, some got a soft approach, some got a lenient approach. We don't run them down. We don't talk ill of them. As Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, when there was this type of talk going on in India, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah was a great buzur. He's of a different level. So his statement is supposed to be written in gold. He says, کہ فیوز کی نہ یہاں پر کمی ہے نہ وہاں پر کمی ہے معترض یہاں سے بھی محروم ہے اور وہاں سے بھی محروم There is no shortage of any blessings by this buzrug or that buzrug, whichever buzrug you go, there is no shortage. But the one that runs down, criticizes, looks for faults, tries and makes that like a discussion, then he is deprived of the blessings here, he is deprived of the blessings there. This doesn't agree with you, right? You go on, move on, carry on. The idea is to move on, to reach the goal. Don't make it your business to run down someone, to embarrass, to insult, and to pick out on the faults of someone. It's not our business. He's doing it, perhaps he has an intention. He's an alim. He has an intention. The intention must be right. But if he's not agreeable with you, leave him. Go to an alim, go to a buzurg, or the mashayikh that is agreeable with you. Nobody forces you that you must take on to a certain particular type of a buzur. Not agreeable? Not agreeable. But don't run them now. Don't speak ill of them. Just now, the little that you have got, that also get washed away. So our whole outlook is we hold them in respect. Hold them with muhabbat, with dignity and esteem. So that we're not deprived. We're not deprived here, we're not deprived there. No way we are deprived. And then our mind is focused onto the path. Hazrat Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullah's kitab, Gulista and Bosta, our mashayikh say that many people became kutubs and abdals just because of these kitabs. So he's got one poetry in his kitab. He says, he saw two people locked up in battle. Outside the masjid, they performed the namaz, and they locked up in some argument. So he says, if this person had the love of Allah Ta'ala, as he shows and portrays, he would have been locked up in this type of dispute and argument. Because he would have been so consumed with the love of Allah Ta'ala, he wouldn't have time for all this. The fact that he's got time for all this shows that he is not in deep love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's got time for all these things here. So the one that has got deep love for Allah Ta'ala, then he doesn't get caught into this discussion. He said this and he said this. But I need to know the path. Show me the path and let me carry on. I don't need to know all these other discussions. I don't need to know them. One person had come in the course of the week, had come to me. So I explained to him, the path is so simple. Right? You need to know the basic of your deen. What is faraz? What is wajib? What is mustahab? That's all that is required of you to know of fiqh. What is faraz? What is wajib? What is sunnat? What is mustahab? What are the required beliefs of a Muslim, of a believer, of the Ahlul Sunnah al-Jamaat? You have done your faraz. After that, then having an abundance of information is not a requirement. Then I explained to him, you see, person is traveling to Johannesburg, so he needs two things. What he needs, one is he needs a road, right? A road to travel to Johannesburg, that's the one thing. So that's fiqh. So he's got a road to lead up to Johannesburg, right? And the second requirement for the ease and the completion of this journey is he requires that all the hurdles should be moved away from the path. If there's a bump, there's a hump, he needs to remove it. He needs to have some type of an ultra shell, right? Some type of a convenience shop on the road. He needs some light on the road. He needs some service and attention on the road. So these are the things that he requires. So one thing he's discovered the road, this is the road. So that's your fit. And the second thing that you require is all these impediments that are on the road. There's jealousy on the road. There's pride on the road. There is show and ostentation in the road. There is jealousy on the road. There is malice in the road. Intentions are evil. So these are the things that are coming to bring about those hurdles on the road. Impediments, obstructions. Remove these things and now you see the road is so easy, so pleasant and so comfortable. The more you travel, the more you want to travel. Because you've removed all the hurdles. Now what we are doing is we're looking at an abundance of information. This person said this, this was... But, and then after that what? Have you covered any distance? Yes, it is some ulama. They had to make that additional research, leave it to them. That's their business. That's their work. They have to preserve the deen. They have to do that. That's their work. But besides them, people like us, our duty is what's required, what is compulsory, what is for us, we have acquired that. After that, then what's required after that? Then I need to know how must I expedite this journey? How can I cover the mileage without any hurdles, without any slips, without any falls? Make this path as convenient as possible. So I need the light, I need the attention, I need the convenience shop. I need all those humps and bumps to be out of the road. So this is what is called, what is tasawwuf? All these hurdles are on the road. Anyway, we come back to the story of Mawlana Habibur Rahman. Alhamdulillah, when I sit down here, then the ideas just begin to flourish. Maybe Mawlana Imis Barkat and Ikhlas. So after some time, this same one of Habibur Rahman, now he completed. He completed and he thought of taking bayat at the hands of Mawlana Abdul Rahim Saab Raipuri, the senior. That time he was aged. So he was accepting bayat, but all had to go through Mawlana Abdul Qadir Saab because he was aged, like how Hakim Saab, Hazrat Hakim Saab, may Allah Ta'ala restore his health. So he'd become quite aged, couldn't manage, so he was doing it on behalf of Mawlana Abdul Rahim Saab Raipuri. But anyway, Mawlana Abdul Rahim Saab passed away. After he passed on, so people had all connected themselves to Mawlana Abdul Qadir Saab because he was the most senior in the silsila. Mawlana Abdul Qadir Saab rahmatullah alayhi had a lot of time for the Shaykh al-Aziz Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Saab. A lot of time. So, in order to get to Raipur, you have to branch from Saharanpur. It's such a place now, you have to branch off from Saharanpur, then you get to Raipur. You can't get to Raipur without touching Saharanpur. Okay. So anyway, if someone came in to Raipur, right, so Mawlana would treat him with respect and with love and attention. But if he said to Mawlana, you know, I went to Saharanpur and I met the Shaykh al-Hadith and I conveyed your salams, he would receive additional attention, a lot of respect, a lot of time, additional respect. So now to gain that additional attention of the Shaykh, they would go through Saharanpur, convey salams, etc. and say, no, I've been to Saharanpur. So Al-Mawlana Raipuri Saab would call him right near. Say, how's the Shaykh? What was he doing? Is he comfortable? How's his health? So they would want that dua of the Shaykh, so they would go that way. But now, on the one end, when Habibur Rahman says, I got this problem, that he's shouting at me and I'm shouting at him. But now, in order for me to get the attention of my Shaykh, I have to go this way. Anyway, in one such occasion, this is what I wanted to speak about, but this is all the introduction. Right? On one such occasion, I came to Saharanpur. I met up with the Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullahi. He said, see, I got one question, right? And I give you 2 days. You must think about it and then tell me the answer. Today is Friday, so I'll be passing here Monday. You think about the answers and you give it to me on Monday. Alright? What is the question? So the question is, what is all this tasawuf about? This tasawuf, what is it all about? Well, the Shaykh Hamdallah says that you don't need to wait for Monday, take it cash. The answer is simple. The answer is that tasawuf, the whole tasawuf, the essence of it is tashiya niyat, to correct the inner self. To correct the intention, to correct the inner self, that's the very summary, the whole essence of tasawuf. It starts off with innamal a'malu bin niyat, that your actions are judged by their niyat. Whatever intention, your action is judged by your niyat. That's the starting point. And it ends up with an ta'budallah ka'annaka tara. That at any given time, whether in the masjid, outside the masjid, the business, at home. But as though you are visualizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any given time, with His esteem, with His glory, with His majesty, with His greatness, at any given time you are watching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he got this answer, he was shocked for that moment. He was absolutely shocked. Anyway, he carried on to Raipur and he had to come back and he cut down his journey, came back on Saturday instead of coming on Sunday, on Monday. So he says to the Sheikh, you know, you gave me such an answer, it let me thinking. I thought for that Saturday night, Sunday night, you know, all the way I traveled from Delhi to Saharanpur, and I was working out in my mind that you will answer me like this and I will counter you like this. You will answer like this and I will counter like this. And you will answer and I will counter like this. But when you answered, I got nothing to counter. You have answered it so comprehensively that there is nothing left for me to ask. So the Sheikh told him, if you ponder, you will feel even more calm and tranquil because there is nothing further than this. It's just the correction of your intention. This whole exercise, this whole science is to get your heart right. Get your mind right, get your heart right. Get your aligning right with Allah Ta'ala. In another word, get your aligning right with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That's the whole essence of this whole effort. Once you've got this, then you don't need to make the zikr, you don't need to make mujahada, muraqaba, and all the type of different exercises that you go through, you don't need it. Because you got your alignment right. All this is done so that you get the alignment right. You got the alignment right, then all the sacrifices, all this difficulty, mujahada that you're going through, you don't need it. So this is the correction of the intention, the correction of the heart. It's such an important thing. As the Shaykh relates an incident, he says, that one person had to cross over the Jamna. India, you get two massive rivers, Jamna, Ganga, right? So he had to cross over, but it was a time that it was flooding. Flooded. He had something very urgent on the other side, and he is paying off the ferry boats, double and treble the amounts. So those people are just declining. He says, "Bhai, forget that fee, doubling the fee and tripling the fee. Forget losing my life and lose the whole boat. The waters are in floods now. The river is in flooding. So what do you expect? I will lose my life. The boat will go. None of us will remain." He's begging and pleading. Nobody's accepting. Nobody's accepting. Nobody's just giving in. Anyway, he heard of one buzrug. He went up to that buzrug and said, "Go, go." He insisted and insisted and insisted. And you know, this insisting and asking Allah Ta'ala, it's a great thing. Allah Ta'ala, give it to us. Keep asking, insist with conviction, ask him again and again and again. Not that once and twice and you forgot Allah Ta'ala, no. Right? A small, dirty girl, right? When we infatuated with the love, we'll try and try and try. 5, 10 years will pass, but we won't leave the trying. This is someone that you can't live with. You can't live without. Allah Ta'ala is someone that you can't leave, you can't live without. She, you can live without. You can hop on to someone else, right? But Allah Ta'ala, can you leave? Can you live without Him? So he insisted and insisted. When he carried on insisting, so this buzrug tells him, you go to that river and you instruct the river to give you the road, and that buzrug has sent you, who has never eaten in his life and has never approached his wife in his life. Anyway, that person went, it worked out for him very well, came back and he's thanking the buzrug. In the meanwhile, this buzrug's wife is letting him have it. Most of these buzrugs, a lot of them, the isla is made by their wives. Their mard hote hai. The isla is left in the khanka, so they complete it. So she's telling him, "Bhai, you say you never ate one morsel, and you're becoming a fat elephant like this. How you came like this? How do you come like this? You say you never eat one morsel. Alright, that's one story. But you say he never approached his wife. Ye sitta ki dhar kahan se aayi? He's half a dozen, how they came from? You're accusing me, insulting me. You know what you have done?" I said, "Bhai, just listen now. But you know what you have done? False allegation. How can you do such a thing? You forgive yourself as a buzrug. And you did this to me." So he calmed his wife. Calmed after some word of persuasion, eventually says, no, no, see, you fed me a lot and you gave me enjoyable good moments. I can't deny that. I can't deny that. But you see, when I was a small child, I heard a bayan that if your intention is right in anything, small as it may be, but your intention is right, it's clear, it's pure, then that action becomes an ibadah. Whether it's eating, whether it's going to the toilet, whether it's whatever, but your intention is right. You left the home, right? When you apply some itar coming to the masjid, Allah Pak will like this. As it's a material comfort. You apply the perfume, it was a material comfort, right? But because your intention is right, Allah Pak will like it. The brothers in the masjid, they won't feel an offensive smell from me, right? See? Then when I come to the masjid, I'm parking my car correctly. Right? I won't disturb anybody. So nobody is inconvenienced. So you make these small, small intentions. Intentions seem to be material, but you're getting reward. Every step of the journey, you're getting rewarded. Why? The intention is right. Intention is pure, is clean. There is no adulteration, no contamination in that niyat. So he says, that from that time till now, whenever I come to the masjid, whenever I come, whatever work I'm doing, masjid, my business, whatever, my intention is right. When I'm eating also, I think I will eat because Allah Pak's ni'mat, Allah Pak's favors. When I'm enjoying Allah Ta'ala's favors, Allah Ta'ala will be happy. I will consider that to be the favor of Allah Ta'ala. I will eat it, that I'm enjoying the favor of Allah Ta'ala. Like you came from a hard day, right? And your wife prepared some biryani, some good works she prepared. And you appreciate it, you eat it, alhamdulillah, what a good meal. You appreciate it. She loves, she will enjoy it as well. But you came, she prepared the whole day, she made mehnat for you. And you didn't appreciate that food. So no, I'm a very big buzrug. I don't care of all these things here. Just bring me my yogurt only, I'll eat that. Will she appreciate that? She's not going to appreciate that. She toiled the entire day. The entire day she toiled for you. Now you have the lukma with relish, with enjoyment. Won't she feel happy? So it's the ni'mat of Allah that I'm enjoying. Allah Pak, you fed me, I'm enjoying it. Allah Pak, you're so merciful. You're so compassionate. I'm so gunegar. But with all that, with so much of love and so much of affection, see, you inspired my wife. I'm in the room, I'm relaxing. And she's insisting the food is getting cold. Please come and eat. Please come and eat. She's laid out so nicely with all the works and the whatever else. Then I will build up that energy that I can serve you. I will eat. I will build up that energy that I will be able to serve you. And I'm enjoying myself, my family, so that I will not be lured towards any haram. Something that is indecent, something that is makruh, impermissible, or undesirable. I will not do that. She will be happy. Allah Ta'ala will be happy. I will bring comfort to her, to her mind. I will appreciate her. I will compliment her. Allah Ta'ala will be happy. So whenever I did this, although they were material works, but my intentions were right. On account of the beauty of my intention, Allah Ta'ala has posted me to this position today that I can instruct the river that you open up for me. See this intention, the correction of the heart. It's such a small and such a simple thing, such a straightforward procedure that we correct our heart. We're going to Umrah with all good intentions with the love of Allah Ta'ala, what we're supposed to be doing, we engage our times in that. And if we don't have that right intention, then our mind will be everything else. That, oh, I need to go for this daffa kurta, and that person has to go for this type of a cell phone. So our mind is all in a mix-up. We have it purely for Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, for you I'm doing it. Though it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And I'm going for you, only for your sake, Allah Ta'ala, for no other reason. So you help me to preserve this goodness of my intention. Give me a minute, Baqi. Azan, I don't know, I feel a little bit reluctant. You are not tired. See? You are fresh. I'll just read one of the incidents. I'm just feeling concerned. There was one great Nawab, Qutbuddin, who did the translation of Mishkat Sharif initially. Mazahir al-Haq, right? So he was a Nawab, very wealthy person. In that Zabana, the wealthy people were called Nawabs, you know, the ultra wealthy, like, you know, had a whole fleet of cars and factories and works and properties. They used to call them Nawab. So he was an Alim and within, together with being an alim, he was also a very, very wealthy person. Nawab Qutbuddin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So he had some occasion, aqiqa or something in his home, and he called on his friends. Amongst his friends was the same Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and Mawlana Fakhruddin Sahib. I remember, Mawlana Ishaq Sahib. Mawlana Ishaq Sahib was his sheikh. And Mawlana Ishaq Sahib is the grandson of Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, from whom we derive our hadith. Nearly approximately about 75-80% of the Islamic world, they all connect the hadith to Shah Ishaq Sahib, Rahmatullah, presently. Approximately 70-80%. So, they all stationed in Delhi. Nawab Qutbuddin Sahib has got some type of a dawat, and he called for Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib and for his ustad, Shah Ishaq Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh. So anyway, Shah Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh attended the dawat. And Shah Ishaq Sahib complained, at least Nawab Qutbuddin Sahib complained of Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that you can respond to my dawat, but my sati that is Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib, because both your students, he blankly refuses to respond to my dawat. So you intercede on my behalf. At least he must come and join up in this dawat. It will honor me. It will bring some happiness to me. So anyway, the ustad had instructed that he must come. So he responded to the instructions of the ustad. So the ustad can shout his student. Although the student is also very popular, very great, a great buzrug. But he's got the right to correct his student. So he says, Arey Muzaffar Hussain, tumhe to taqwa ka heza ho gaya. What? You playing with taqwa, what? You're overdoing, going overboard. What? This Nawab Qutbuddin's food is haram. You got so pious you became that you can't eat his food. So anyway, Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah says, no, na'uzubillah, I never have any suspicion about Nawab Qutbuddin Sahib. Then why didn't you accept his da'wat? So, Hazrat Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib says that you see, Nawab Qutbuddin Sahib presently he's in debt. He's in the arrears, right? When he's in debt, then the law of the Sharia is that he must go and settle all his debts. That's the procedure. The procedure is you must go and settle all your debts. Because that's an obligation. You'll be asked about it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam refused to perform the janazah namaz. He is in debt, he must go and settle that. That's an obligation. When he's got this obligation that is suspended over his head, why isn't he fulfilling it? And then there is a hadith that goes against him, which says, مَطْلُ الْغَنِيِّ ظُلْمٌ. That when a person has got the means to settle his debts, and then he delays, he procrastinates, he's going for Umrah, Hajj, and buying cars, etc., then this is an act of oppression. He's got the money, he's got the means, then why doesn't he settle his debts? That's the procedure. Why is he arranging this type of feast? He's a Nawab. When he's going to arrange a feast, then he's going to arrange that feast Nawab style. He's not going to be an ordinary feast, Nawab style he's going to arrange for that. He's going to hire special vehicles for you to come to this dawat. So if he's got that access, then why doesn't he settle his debts? Now look at this point of sincerity of Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain on one side, that it's a napkin friend, very thick friend, but he refuses for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. The love, if there is love, is only based on the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I don't make a different sort of a provision for my friend. Like how we do it, it's a friend, now let me make a cover-up story for him. No. The base of the love is the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So when he's gone off, then I can't be towing the line with him. I can't be going with him. The love will not be then for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. It's for something else. So if he's gone off, then I need to correct him. I can't accept his dawat. Then won't I be an accomplice in this oppression? The hadith is saying, matul ghani yizulmun. That the delaying, the procrastinating of a wealthy person is a zulm, is an act of oppression. If I'm going to attend this dawat, won't it amount to me being an accomplice to an oppression? Now, look at the ikhlas of the student, then look at the ikhlas of the ustad. The ustad is already there at the dawat. Right. Now the Ustad says, well then, I am also not accepting this doubt. I also blankly refuse. So that whole friendship is revolving around ikhlas and sincerity, nothing else. Everything else is, by the way, it's ikhlas. It's the love of Allah Ta'ala. It's for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. I love you for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. If I'm turned away from you, it's for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. I'm interested in something, then it's for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, no other reasons. So this is the very essence of tasawwuf. We talk of tasawwuf, a lot of stories we talk of. But what is the very essence? What is the root? What is the whole agenda? What is the whole plan? The plan is this, just correct your intention. At any given time, I'm abusive, I'm insulting, I'm shouting someone. Am I shouting him because I detest the deed that he's doing, or because I need to spite the person? I need to put him in his place. What am I doing it for? Do I need to spite the person, therefore I'm getting back at him? Or it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only that I'm doing it? So at any given moment, I'm checking deep within myself, that is it for the sake of Allah ta'ala or not? Is it for the sake of Allah ta'ala or not? My heart is being checked up at any given moment. Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala rasooli al-kareem. Wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة في الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه.